Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and well, since it's 5 o'clock, that can only mean one thing. Sean Burks-Deuce here for Dan the Man.
I'm here, ready to go.
All right, you want to call into the podcast? 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of those tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but you can find me out there at Burke Time. So if you want to send Stu anything, feel free to direct to me, and I will make sure he gets it. So there you go.
Appreciate that, Dan. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, it looks like we finally have some pitcher signing, you know, some guys whose name we actually recognize. You know, yesterday we had Jaime Garcia inked by the Blue Jays, and Andrew Kachner picked up a deal with the Orioles. And today it's being reported that Jason Vargas has agreed to a 2-year deal with the Mets as long as he can pass his physical. So a lot of, again, guys whose names we recognize and, you know, pitchers we kind of know, with the exception of Jake Arrieta and Alex Cobb. What the hell's going on there?
Yeah, I'm wondering about that myself. And have you heard any last-second rumors about Arrieta? Is he going to the Milwaukee? Is he going to Minnesota? Or maybe Philadelphia? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know Milwaukee made another lower-level signing yesterday. They brought in Wade Miley. So they've got about five guys competing for two spots. I don't think Arrieta's going to be brought in there, and it's being reported today that the Twins just signed Anibal Sanchez. So my guess is that door is also closed now because they've kind of stacked up on some pitching as well. I know mostly it's been in the bullpen, and they did lose Irvin Santana, so maybe there's still a small window there, but I don't know where either of those guys are going to end up, and I'm just wondering if maybe they priced themselves out of the market.
I was thinking the same thing, and I'm wondering if Arrieta has any remorse that he signed with Mr. Boris.
So. Yeah, because, you know, Darvish got $21 million a year. That's probably all that Arrieta's going to get. He's probably not going to do any better than that. But I know he wanted a $200 million contract. So, but I don't see anybody giving him 10 years or 9 years to make that happen. I'll be really interested to see where he ends up. And, you know, Cobb was in the same boat. You know, he shot his mouth off saying he deserves $20 million a season. You know, the Cubs came to him with 4 years and I think $72 million, and he turned it down very quickly. And now he's still floating out there on the market, and so is Arrieta, while all these other guys are kind of eating up contract space.
It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. And has Philadelphia been mentioned as a possible landing spot for Arrieta?
You know, they were mentioned really early, but nothing serious ever came about from it. So I don't know if they ever actually, you know, considered offering a contract, or if there were even some negotiations, but you got to wonder, I mean, as soon as a team hears $200 million, you know, they're going to start looking in other places.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get even anything remotely close to that number.
So, And the Sanchez deal, it looks like the Twins got him on the cheap. It's $2.5 million, and it appears it's one of those agreements where he's being invited to spring training.
Right, and
So it's kind of an incentive-laden contract, as it says here. He can pick up, he can double his salary through incentives.
Kasner signed with a fairly decent deal for 2 years. I think he got $8 million per, which isn't
Yeah, he
bad.
got pretty much the same deal Vargas got from the Mets, Castro got from the Orioles. Or Kasner, excuse me, Castro, I was thinking of somebody else. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like Vargas, Vargas put up 18 wins last season for not a great Kansas City team. He made 32 starts. The ERA was a little high, but it was the American League, so 4.16 isn't, a killer for you.
No,
I'm
I get that.
interested to see how how the Mets kind of handle this now. I mean, are we looking at the wonderful six-man rotation? Somebody's going to finally break out and do it.
Yeah, you always hear this mentioned, and even the Cubs have discussed that, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think most teams, including the Mets, are going to wind up sticking to a five-man rotation, as is the norm, or at least it's been this way for a few years now. It used to be a four-man
Yeah,
rotation
I mean,
years ago.
yeah. So that was a long time ago. I don't think we
A
would
long
see
time ago.
anybody, anybody attempt that without a lot of crying. The way pitchers are babysat now, it would just be, they would be just ape crazy if somebody tried to do that, and all they'd talk about is how they were blowing out their pitchers.
Right. Would it shock you? Would it shock you if Arrieta sat out the season?
There were those reports. I remember you and I trading emails about one of the top free agents saying he was willing to sit out. And you wonder if Arrieta was that guy.
And I think that would be a terrible mistake on his part, because he had a couple of decent years, but his production has gone down steadily the last 2 years. And if he sits out a season, he'll be, what, 33 next year?
Yeah, well,
That is really a risk on his part.
if he sits out a season, he's not getting that money next year.
No, that is
You know,
true.
I mean, if he's thinking, if he was thinking he was getting a $200 million deal this year, he's not getting that next year. So, that'll definitely be way off the board.
Did you see where the word is that the Cubs, before they wound up finally signing Darvish, offered a very similar deal, last second deal to Arrieta, and he said, "Well, it's not enough time for me to study to see if it's good or not," and he said, "I don't have enough time to make a decision," and then they just went around and said, "Okay," and got Darvish.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. I mean, it's what was the make about it? It was 7 years, or what was that, 7 or 6? 6 years, you're going to make
Six
$21 million a
years.
season. Is that enough for you or not?
I
So,
guess it wasn't for him. I'm hoping that Darvish, of course, is sound, but doesn't have any arm issues, and he's been pretty solid the last couple of years after the surgery he had.
yeah, you know, well, he, you know, he seemed to bounce back from that. I mean, he was okay last year. He made all his starts. Just the more important thing is, can they make sure he's not tipping his pitches?
Well,
Because that's what got him killed in the World.
one of the reasons I think the Cubs were able to get him was the fact that some teams may have been a little bit put off by that poor performance he had in the World Series, although he pitched pretty well in the other playoff games, if memory
Yeah, one of the games
serves.
against the Cubs, true bell. So,
Yeah. So the Cubs, I mean, if he's sound, the Cubs have made a pretty good deal and have one of the strongest rotations now in the majors. Long as Chatwood does his job, and Lester pitched well, of course Hendricks and Quintana, who was pretty inconsistent last year with the Cubs, although when he was on his game, he was terrific.
yeah, you would think, they, I mean, on paper, and of course, you never know until you actually see it kind of shake out. But you know, on paper, they should have a heck of a rotation. So, you know, we'll just have to kind of see how it goes. But I was wondering if you had seen or heard what's the best way they're describing it as a ticket war, basically between the Cubs and the Brewers. You know, when the Brewers started selling tickets, you could only buy them if you had a Wisconsin zip code. So they were, you know, they were clearly making sure that the Cub fans couldn't get their tickets that way. Not that they're just not going to be able to go on the secondary market and get tickets,
I'm sure
but
they could,
you know, the Cubs basically said that they have zero plans to retaliate. Do you think it's more just a Milwaukee motivation thing than anything else?
I think so. I think it is. And they must have been embarrassed last year because they wound up with a very, very good, solid season, a surprisingly good year. And when the Cubs came into town, it almost looked like it was evenly divided, if not in favor of the Cubs and of the fans in attendance for the games. And
I fully expect it to be that way this year. So.
Yeah, it'll probably be the same way this year. And although they certainly seem like good enough to wind them in second place in the division.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the tough part with that is, you know, you get a lot of people. I mean, you know, that's how they continue to buy their season tickets, is they turn over, you know, some of the tickets they have to get the payment, because obviously those things aren't cheap. So, you know, you sell a few here or there. Obviously, you can get big money for a Cub ticket. You know, so if it's a three-game series, you sell a game or you sell two games, and, you know, you're on your way to having your deposit for next year's, you know, tickets.
Yeah, for sure. Have you started looking at the divisions yet, by the way? Have you started looking at the divisions? It's kind of early to look at the divisions in the National American League. Maybe we should wait until spring training starts.
Yeah, well, you know, technically it did start. Pitchers and catchers are in. I think most players are in now. But yeah, you know, I mean, we kind of started talking a little bit about it, but it's so hard with so many unsigned guys still floating around out there because, you know, one signing can completely change the team.
Yeah, out of all the divisions, I think the easiest one will be in the National League East. I just can't see anybody competing with Washington for the for the championship in that division.
Yeah, you know, I think the only shot is if the Mets pitchers can stay healthy, which they haven't done in, was it 3 years now or 4 years now? Whenever they went to the World Series that one year.
Yeah.
If those guys could stay healthy, you know, that makes them very competitive. But that's a big question mark with those guys. Yeah, they haven't been healthy. And, I mean, you know, obviously the add of Vargas is going to help that. We keep hearing that all the guys are healthy, you know, now, you know, even Matt Harvey. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's the tough part with it all.
We've heard that before. Was Washington the only team in the NL East last year that was over 500? I'm trying to remember anybody else over 500.
Yeah, I think they might have been. I know the Marlins made a little run there, but they ended up kind of falling by the wayside late.
They faltered at the end.
So, yeah, let's see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, they were. They won the division by 20 games over the Marlins, who were 77 and 85 in second place.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bless you.
Thank you. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the division, you know, the Braves are still kind of reworking their deal. And I know everybody thought the Phillies would be better last year, and they stunk. So, who knows what you're going to get out of that division?
Yeah,
you know, except the fact that Miami's probably going to lose 100 games with the team they've put their assembling.
Well, they don't draw even with a good team.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the one. Well, you know, maybe they need the new stadium that they were talking about, even though I think they just got that one. Maybe they just need to get rid of that.
don't know if that market is good for baseball for some reason. That just never seemed to draw well. Yeah. St. Pete,
way. You know, it's tough. And then, you know, they obviously, you know, you bring Ozzie Guillen in, and he didn't really endure them to their Cuban fans with his stupid comments about Castro and stuff. So
yeah,
that didn't help them.
That didn't help them at all.
So, you know, but, you know, yeah, you'd think, I mean, they haven't won in so long, you have to wonder if they were to win if people would show up. You know, but they're nowhere close to being a winner now. I mean, they're probably the farthest team away from contending. So,
and even some contending teams don't draw all that well during the regular season. I believe the first one that comes to mind for me is Cleveland.
Yeah, they're one of the teams for some reason that just always has drawn poorly. So.
Yep.
You know, and you have, you know, you wonder kind of, you know, you got to wonder why. I mean, they've been a good team for how long now, and for whatever reason, yeah, there's just nothing there.
I just don't see that ever happening in Chicago. You know, if the White Sox start to become competitive, though, I think they'll have a little trouble starting to gear up attendance-wise, but it might happen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, one of the things. I mean, that's the, you know, the White Sox cross the Bears, they're always going to be second fiddle. You know,
yep.
No matter if they won a World Series or if they win another one, you know, it's just kind of how it goes in town here. And, you know, that's just what they're, no matter what they try, that's just kind of what you got to deal with.
Yep. That's always going to happen, I'm afraid. Although I do remember years ago when the Cubs were really down and the White Sox started to win games, that they started to outdraw the Cubs, believe it or not, but that was a long time ago. A long time ago.
Yeah, well, that was around, you know, the time when, you know, Lee Elia had his fit and the Cubs couldn't draw flies. So
he had a classic interview. That really circulated. You can still hear it, I think, on if you go to YouTube. They probably still have that somewhere.
Yeah, they Les Grobstein plays it on The Score, but I think every year on the anniversary, he was actually there covering the team at the time.
Yeah.
So
he
makes sure to play that, and that was classic. You know, that's one thing for sure. I mean, it was one of the better manager rants I think that have been out there.
Yeah, it was a classic for sure. Of course, the coach, Mike Ditka, has given a few interesting comments over the seasons, too.
I don't think there was as much swearing in any of Ditka's, though.
No.
You know.
Maybe the Cubs will bring him back to see him take me out to the ballgame again this season.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. Just run him back up there for five, 10 seconds. Make him to through.
They're going to either bring him back or who is it, the Ozzy Osbourne or Russ Rosenbauer. That would be a good choice also.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, you know, I almost wish they'd just put that to bed and maybe just go with the Harry Carey thing on the billboard or something instead of continually bringing people in.
Yeah, it's always good, though, to see when they bring some guests in that can actually sing the song nicely. Bill Murray doesn't do a bad job, I thought, when you compare him to some of the other ones that they put out.
Yeah, well, you know, like, I don't mind so much when they bring in celebrities who are actually Cub fans. But, you know, like, you get a lot of people who are, you know, they're just there to pub whatever they have going on. And,
right.
You know, it's set up. But, yeah, when you get the, you know, like, obviously Bill Murray and you know, John Cusack is a Cub fan. You know, he grew up here.
Right.
And, you know, Joe, is it Mantegna, I believe, is a big Cub fan.
Yeah, big Cub fan.
You get the guys like that. That's not bad. So, or, you know, Gary Sinise, you know, he's another one they have every year.
Another Chicago one, right? That's right. I think they've cut back on the interview before they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I don't remember hearing it as much with these various guest singers last season. Maybe they stopped that.
Yeah, I know it's much shorter on the radio now than it used to be, the interview. You know, it used to, for the longest time, it used to be almost the entire half inning. And,
yeah.
You know, now it's, you know, it's real quick now, you know, because they always say, well, we'll let you go to get ready to sing. So.
Yeah. Cutting it off that way, which helps.
So, yeah.
Of course, you and I both prefer the radio announcers to the TV announcers anyway.
Yeah, you know, oddly, Dan and I were talking a little about this yesterday because, you know, it was announced that the White Sox games will be on WGN radio this year.
Yeah.
So I was kind of joking that I'll actually get to I'll be able to find them this year after wherever the heck they ended up last season. And, yeah, you know, that always kind of leads us to the announcers and, you know, yeah, just the fact that, you know, Len Casper and Jim DeShays just drive me nuts.
Yeah,
so.
You and me both. I remember years ago that the White Sox had such a difficult time getting a radio station to carry their games that they wound up with some obscure low-watt station out of LaGrange, and it was very, very difficult for in some areas to actually get the broadcast. Of course, that goes back a number
of years.
Trying
to think. Last year, I'm trying to remember where. I think they ended up on, like, it might have been WLS or, like, WLS's secondary station. And it was difficult to come across where the games were and how to find them.
I remember when I first started listening to the Cubs in 1947, they were carried on WIND 560 before WGN finally got them for so many years.
Yeah, we were trying to figure it out yesterday. How long were the Cubs on GN before they left?
Well, they must have been on at least, you say, 30 years or more. I would say probably more than that. Close to 40.
Yeah, because we couldn't figure it out. Yeah, we couldn't figure it out. I knew it was, you know, at least, you know, 40 because they were on there when I was a kid. So
yeah, it was a long, long time. So at one time, WGN had the exclusive rights to the Cubs and the per radio and TV. Plus, of course, they carried some White Sox games too. They carried some White Sox games as well. And the Cub fans used to complain years ago when they televised more White Sox road games than Cub road games. And their explanation was that they televise every Cub home game, and most of the time the White Sox evening games was blacked out in the Chicago area. They weren't televised at all. So that was the reason for having more road games from the White Sox than the Cubs.
Yeah, I remember got it, you know, at one point in time. I mean, you know, what was it? WGN had, you know, all the Chicago teams.
Yeah, they had the Bulls.
They had the Blackhawks, but too.
Now
it's, you know, I know now, you know, they carry a few games here and there, the Bulls and Blackhawks and some of the Cubs and White Sox, but yeah, not like before. So
No. But the White Sox certainly jumped around on TV also I think Channel 44 carried them for a while and Channel 32. And
yeah.
At one time, weren't they on kind of a closed circuit type thing? A pay-per-view channel, I think, carried some of their games.
Yeah,
too.
They were the first team to go with that. What were they called? I want to say it was Sportsnet or no,
yeah,
Sports Vision.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
They were on Chicago Sports Vision. So, and yeah, they were one of the first teams to make that move where you had to have the special a special cable package to get it. That was one of the
Right.
first when cable kind of started dividing channels.
Yeah, yep, I remember that. Trying to remember who the announcers were then. Was Don Drysdale? He did the games for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he did it for a while. You know, they had what? Didn't Bob Ellison do their games for a long time?
You mean Bob Ellison? Bob
Bob
Ellison?
Ellison, yeah, Bob, yeah, still, yeah.
Bob Ellison, right?
Yeah, I think
well, he
he
was
did
a
their
long
games
time.
For a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, he did for years. He was their radio announcer for many many years. They called him the Commander, and he was really a very dull announcer when he did the radio games. One of the dullest in the majors. Very, very dull. It could be the most exciting game going on. Bases loaded, last of the ninth. 3-2 count in the batter, and he would be slowly describing the action. Didn't make any difference what the situation of the game was.
Yeah, you know, for some reason I remember him. Then, of course, you know, there was the lovely Jimmy Pearsall, Harry Carey tandem that everybody loved. So.
Yeah, they were controversial, but they were actually kind of fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Yelling and screaming at the
umpires.
Especially
when they went wrong. Yeah.
Jimmy Pearsall, he used to love to yell and scream at the umpires. Come on, that was a strike. And he got into a little trouble doing that, but he was pretty high strung to begin with.
Yeah, well, now they got Hawk who does that. At least we got Hawk for – that's what we're trying to figure out. Is this supposed to be his last year?
Yes,
you know, he was only supposed
yes.
to do 20 games or something, and
right,
this is it.
Hawk will be making his retirement, and the good thing is he'll never step a foot in Wrigley Field again.
Yeah, we couldn't figure it out yesterday if this was it or where we were on this retirement that's been, I think, 3 years in the making or something now.
Yeah.
So,
we weren't. He'll only be doing 20 games a year, and the new announcer I thought was pretty good. I forgot his name, but
yeah, he's stupid. I mean, it's what is it? It's Jason
that's
Ben
right.
and Teddy or something like that, or Jason Benetti.
Jason sounds right.
Yeah,
that's right. And I thought he was pretty solid announcer in for his first season.
Yeah, you know what I like about him that I don't like about Hawk is he just kind of gets out of Steve Stone's way and lets Steve Stone tell you what's going on, which is what
right.
he's just fantastic at. So, you know.
Well, you know, for a year or two, they were kind of bitter enemies. They finally reconciled Hawk and Steve Stone. I don't know. They never did discuss what the problem was, why they were disliked each other so much. But they just patched up their differences, and they were okay the last couple of years doing the color commentary. That there was some animosity there for a while.
Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, what brought it up or, you know,
yeah.
how it was, but.
Well, supposedly even Harry Carey, for some reason, had some heat with Steve Stone. I think maybe this was after he came back from his stroke and he thought that Stone was showing him up, and that really wasn't the case. I think it was just his performance going downhill when he wasn't feeling 100% anymore.
Yeah, you know, and it's it's got to be tough to work with Stone because it seems like the guy knows everything. So, you know, I mean, he really just kind of needs a true play-by-play guy to work with.
Right.
You know, he doesn't need any help.
No. Yeah, this new team seems to be they'll be doing a good job. And if the prospects come through and they start to have an exciting team, that will be all the better to have those two guys doing the announcing.
So yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, like they should be, you know, an interesting team to watch to see how their, you know, their rebuild is going and, you know, just how far away they are.
They're certainly not projected to win that many games this year.
No, I mean, you wouldn't figure, you know, they'll be in what the 70 to 75 range.
Right, right. I think
that
sounds
about
right.
About where they
are. Right.
So, yeah.
Did you see the
you figure they're probably third
right.
division.
Did you see the latest predictions? They ranked all the teams, the 30 teams from top to bottom, starting with the worst and going to the best. And number
Yeah,
one was
we looked
Houston.
at. Yeah, we. I think the one Dan and I had the Dodgers getting the most wins this coming year.
The one I saw was Houston first and the Cubs second. This after the Cubs
Yeah,
acquired
they. The
Darvish,
one,
though.
no, yeah, see, this was earlier. We had the one. It was the Dodgers, Houston, and I actually think the Cubs were fourth. I think they had either the Red Sox or the Yankees in front of them, and then the Cubs were fourth. So, but yeah, you know, again, that's kind of how it is. You know, a little signing here kind of, you know, can change everything. So.
Yeah, this is more than a little signing. And of course, as I mentioned before, we hope that his arm is sound and he lives up to the expectations.
Yeah, you know, you got to wonder, you know, if a team can finally bring in, you know, JD Martinez, depending on, you know, what his demands are. I think he's probably the best hitter left out there. You know, and then if Arrieta and Cobb ever do accept contracts, you know, I mean, it could change the landscape quickly depending on, you know, where they go. I mean, you know, I think if I was a team kind of on the brink, you know, I would be throwing 1 year deals at those guys and say, well, here, come in and prove it. You can go back on the free agent market next year.
Yeah, I don't know
You
if
know,
they'd
and see
really
if they would
accept
take
that.
something like that.
They might have to,
Yeah, I know,
though.
but you know, when they don't have any offers, you know, if you're the only one sitting there, I mean, at this point, if you tell Arrieta you're giving 1 year at $22 million, you know, this way he would make $1 million more than Darvish. You know, you got to think it would be something that would interest them. You know, Cobb, I don't know what you would do with Cobb because for some reason he thinks he's a $20 million pitcher, and I don't get that. So, you're kind of on your own there. But you know, Arrieta at least has a bit of a track record, and
He
you
does.
know, in the right situation, you know, he can win you 15, 18 games easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, truth be told, the Cubs made a decent offer to Cobb and a very, very good offer, I thought, to Arrieta, and both were turned down. Well, Cobb's rather quickly, and Arrieta didn't have the time to think about it, and maybe he regrets that now.
Yeah, I would be interested to know what he thinks now, you know, taking his time, you know, or going with the not having the time to look at it. I mean, I don't know what was that difficult about it. You know, obviously Darvish had time to look at it. So, but you know, we shall see. So, but
Yeah.
I did want to ask. I just kind of started reading this. Have you seen this FBI investigation into college basketball? I mean, the way they're talking, it involves like all the big time programs and all the big time coaches.
Wow. I have not seen it. Did that just crop up today?
You know, I had heard a little bit about it here and there, but you know, it does stem back. I don't know if you remember. I think it was, let me see, yeah, here, September of last year. They got assistant coaches at Auburn, Arizona, Oklahoma State, and Southern California, were all arrested on bribery. You know, and then Rick Pitino had the fiasco at Louisville,
Right.
where you know, it was been proven that they gave a recruit $100,000. You know, through Adidas is how they funneled it. Now, you know, Pitino, you know, was able to keep his name out of it, but obviously he ended up getting the axe. But yeah, they're talking about this is supposed to be a really big issue, and you know, like the quote here is, you know, they got four guys, the four guys that were arrested, the assistant coaches, and there are 351 programs where every team has four assistants.
Yeah, that could be
So,
very
you know, I mean, what
significant.
You were the accountant. What does that number equal out to? So, you know,
I
there's gonna be, you know, yeah,
yeah,
there's gonna be some big names out there, I think, that we're gonna, you know, end up hearing about and kind of wondering what went on with them.
well, before you were, this may be before you were born, I don't know. I'm trying to remember when it happened, but there was a big scandal in college basketball, point shaving. There were Yeah, do you remember that one? That's a long time ago, but they were.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it. Yeah.
They were cutting the scores so that for the gamblers, and it was got to be very dangerous. I mean, there were some death threats of some players who got involved with this, and it was a terrible scandal. But the year that it took place escapes me at the moment. But that is very significant. That could just ruin college sports if it was widespread. And it was a pretty bad incident.
So, yeah, like they're, you know, like the words they're using here is stuff like, you know, fundamentally alter, you know, NCAA basketball. You know, I mean, I'm kind of interested to see, you know, what they like. It says while they released the information, which could reportedly incriminate upwards of 50 college basketball programs. But it's just kind of unknown how it'll be released. Nobody knows, you know, when they're going to come out with it.
Yeah, is it really even college sports anymore? We've talked about this before. Or is it just a AAA for football and basketball?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's really the, you know, the way you kind of, you know, you kind of look at it now. I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, a feeder, you know, especially basketball, you know, at least in football, you got to stay a few years. Football, you're there, you know, literally what? You're enrolled two semesters because you got to enroll at the start of the year, and then basketball starts. And then after that, you know, after that second semester, you know they're leaving school. You know, as soon as the basketball season's over, you know these guys are gone. So,
you know, that bothers me, too, that this happens. It really bothers me. I guess it doesn't bother all that many fans because it doesn't seem to impede the attendance for the college games and the interest in the NCAA. But it does bother me. It really does. It's not true spirit of athletics. But maybe I shouldn't be such a Puritan.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, it kind of turned me off. You know, I used to watch a lot more college sports, you know, and now, I mean, basically the only thing I want to know is what are the March Madness scores to know how my bracket went.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm, you know, really interested in. I mean, I don't care much about college football, you know, and again, you know, basketball, it's just March Madness to me. That's all it really is, so... you know,
what about curling, though? What about curling? You know, that's a big sport, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I would, you know, like, you know, occasionally I'll watch a little, you know, college baseball, and I will watch locally, you know, University of Illinois Chicago, the Flames. You know, I watch their game because I, you know, I know their head trainer real well.
Oh.
He actually appeared on a very early edition of Sports Time Radio. So.
Yeah. Good to have him on there. There's only one good college team in the Chicago area this year, for sure. But they're going to have a difficulty making it into the NCAA tournament unless they wind up winning that conference. I'm talking about Loyola, who's having a terrific season.
So yeah, you know they've been really good. So you know we'll have to see how or if they get in.
Yeah, most of the experts say that the only way they'll get in is they win that conference that they're in, because their schedule isn't as strong as some of the other ones.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's always, you know, weird when they, you know, they start picking off these things on them, and it's like, you know, it's their fault their conference is down. You know, it's like...
Yeah, not their fault.
Okay, you know... It just kind of happened that year, but you know the tough part is it's done for money. You know, I mean, a team like Loyola isn't really going to draw, and you know the last thing they need. I mean, imagine if Loyola goes on a run and ends up in the, you know, the Elite Eight or the Final Four. You know, the NCAA doesn't want to see that. You know, they want the North Carolinas and the Dukes and you know the name
value
teams,
right? Kansas and all the other teams. When Loyola won the championship, and I forgot what year it was, quite a while ago, the championship game was televised in Chicago on a delayed basis, believe it or not. It wasn't televised live in Chicago. Hard to believe by today, but that's what happened. So people were running to the phone to try to get the results before it was, you could see it on TV.
Well, that's what, you know, I mean, you know, people don't believe me now as popular it is, but remember at one point in time, the NBA finals were shown on tape delay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember CBS carried them and they were literally shown after the 10 o'clock news. 10:35, the NBA finals came on tape delay.
Yeah. Surprising. I forgot about that. Yeah. Now that you're reminding me about that, that's right. And they would not play out anymore.
Yeah. You know, I mean, imagine that now. I mean, with as popular as, you know, the league is and, you know, everything there with the, you know, all their money they're making and that stuff, you know, yeah. But yeah, the fact that it was once on tape delay. So.
Yeah. And it wasn't so long ago was that we did not see every single game in the NCAA tournament.
Quite, yeah.
Only the local teams, and now every game, somehow, if you go to your cable channels, there and so they can be on some obscure cable channels that you don't watch very often. But every game now is on.
Yeah, it was really. You know, the Mickey Mouse Network, you know, good old ESPN was what got that going when they owned the coverage rights and they would bounce from game to game. You know, everybody kind of realized how exciting it was. And, you know, when CBS took over, they were like, oh, yeah, we got to show all these games. So.
That's right.
You know, yeah, it's just nuts. I mean, there's like six channels showing games, you know, or eight channels because they're, you know, there's, you know, four different areas and. You know, all that stuff, and it's like, holy crap.
And it's nice to see some obscure team winning at least the first round.
Yeah, that's always fun, you know, until they, you know, stack the deck against them or, you know, whatever they try to do.
It'll be nice as one year to see a team that's not Duke or North Carolina or Kansas win it. Surprise everybody.
Yeah, you know, like I'd always kind of hoped that, you know, Butler went those couple years. I was kind of hoping they had found a way to win. You know, I thought that would have been nice, but I think they ended up, they ended up losing both of them.
Right.
You know, just one of those, one of those. I mean, it was just fantastic that they got there, so.
High school basketball tournament used to be very exciting, too, until they went to all these different A and AA and AAA and 4A and 5A. There was only one class of college high school basketball. The smallest team in downstate Illinois was eligible at the biggest school in Chicago. And Chicago, by the way, never won anything until, I think it was 1958. They never won the state championship until 1958 when Marshall finally won.
Yeah, you know, I was always surprised that the city never won more.
Yeah, yeah. And to me, that took, well, DeSable had a great team in 54, but they lost in the finals. They had a terrific team, but it always seemed to make it much, much more exciting when anybody had a chance to win from the small. And now I think with these different levels, it just takes some of the fun and excitement away from high school basketball and football as well. Basketball was always more popular than high school football, though, years ago.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess in one way it gives more people a chance to celebrate a championship, but, you know, do you have one true champion? I mean, maybe they should be playing each other at the end of it all.
Yeah, you think that's an idea. Like, how about the 1A team plays the 2A team and until you get a ultimate winner, but that would probably make it too commercial for them, I suppose. You always wonder, though, how a 1A team would do against a 2A team in basketball or football or 3A against a 4A.
Many questions you would have to wonder on if, you know, how they would react if you wanted to try to you know, to do that, have them match up. But
yes,
you know, I mean, you know, spot fine. They don't, you know, they don't need to have any extra football games with the way, you know, injuries
right.
are now. I'm okay with
yeah.
that. But basketball, I think you can be with it.
And we've talked about this before on high school basketball. I can never understand now, and it never happened years ago, that these kids can transfer from one school to the next. Their last year, they, I mean, I thought that was if you have to be living in a specific area before you can go to that school. So somehow the rules have been circumvented, and it's quite disturbing. No one else seems to care about it.
Yeah, you know, there's always a way. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, if you've got enough money, you know, you can get it done. You know, it's just, you know, greasing the right wheel or, you know, the right person or, you know, so-and-so's aunt lives here and he's going to stay with her for, you know, this semester
yeah.
or however it works out. You know, I mean, I remember coaching Little League years ago. You deal with a lot of that. You know, because you have the boundary lines, and you know there was the team
right.
in Chicago that won.
Yeah, that's the first
I
thing I thought of.
Yeah,
when you
yeah,
said
I think I, yeah, whatever they ended up winning, and then you know half of their players ended up being illegal. But you know
yeah.
that goes
yeah.
on all the time in the league. You know, you guys go out and recruit the best players. It doesn't matter, you know, where they live or how far they are. You just want the best guys. So.
Yeah, amateur athletics aren't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be amateurs,
yeah.
right? And the pure spirit, the spirit of athletics, like the Olympics or anything else. Well, things aren't so pure anymore.
No, you know, especially, you know, high school sports now. I mean, there's, you know, when it comes, you know, especially because you deal with AAU, there's just too much money to be made there. You know, I mean, with the shoe sponsors and everything that goes into that now,
yeah.
there's just
yeah,
way too much money floating around for it to be, you know, whatever, you know, a true athletic endeavor, you know, you're just never going to get that.
Yeah, and they try to slip things under the table sometimes, and the truth will out eventually. It's certainly in unfortunate some of these things that have happened to some of these people in amateur athletics over the last few years with coaches causing problems, and you know what I'm talking about when I say that, and other things that they've done. It's just inconceivable how they let these universities of higher learning let it slide under the table. What happened to this coach? What did he get? About 100? Doctor, how many years did he get? A couple hundred years with all these different things that he
yeah.
did?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you wonder, I mean, I would love to know, you know, the GPA, the average GPA of the top 10 ranked college basketball teams right now. You know, I would love to know
yeah.
what that team GPA, you know, I mean,
yeah.
obviously no one will ever, yeah, you know, no one will ever tell you, and, you know, they would never do that. But yeah, I would love to, you know, love to have a way to find, I mean, I'd love to know how many of those kids are actually even going to class.
Yeah. Well, years ago, the joke was that when you ask them what they were majoring in, they would say basket weaving. And now, well,
yeah,
I'm not quite sure.
I remember writing about it in a blog, and I think you and I may have actually talked about it one time you were on the show. There was the kid from North Carolina who basically proved that, you know, they faked his grades, they faked his class schedule, and, you know, they were doing it for obviously more than just him. And somehow, and I don't know how they managed this, but the university went unscathed through it all. You know, there were no penalties handed down. There were no sanctions, no loss of scholarships, none of that stuff. And I mean, it was basically proven that they were faking these guys' grades. And it was like, wait, what? how did this happen?
And what, I wonder what excuse they use, the whoever the governing body is in these various sports, how could they not do some sanctions to these teams?
Yeah, I don't know what they said or what they did or how they worked it out, but man, they I'm assuming they're probably still doing it. I mean, they got away with it. I mean, why would you stop?
Yeah. I'm sure they'll do it again and again and again.
But yeah, you know, I mean, it was just the weirdest thing. I mean, here you've got a kid giving you a firsthand account, you know, of how they did it for him. And, you know, did nobody believe him? Maybe. I don't know what they, you know, what they could have been talking about or thinking about or whatever it was, but
the school denied it.
You know, it was clear. Yeah, you know, it was clear that they had, you know, they had done this all wrong, but you know, nobody seemed to care. You know,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at it a little bit. I mean, you know, it's like the Derrick Rose situation in Memphis. The school got in trouble. Well, what did he care? He was gone.
Right, 1 year.
You know, he was making millions of dollars. Yeah.
And the word, of course, that he didn't even take the preliminary exam, and supposedly someone did it for him.
Yeah. So yeah, that was always the rumor here that he didn't take the ACT or the SATs. You
right.
know that they had a
right.
test taken so he could get the scores he needed to get in.
Yeah, and nothing ever came of that either.
No, you know, that was one of the things. I know the school got in trouble for, I don't remember if it was him or if it was somebody else. It may not even have been him. But there was, you know, they found out there was some tampering. And, you know, they ended up on probation and had to do a lot of stuff. But again, like I said, why did he care? You know, he was, you know, rookie of the year, or I believe he was rookie of the year that first year with the Bulls, you know, making millions of dollars. He was gone. You know, I mean, you think any of these guys care, you know, after that
no.
semester? I mean, they're out there waiting to get drafted.
They could care less. They're where they want to be in the first place, the NBA. And their 1 year in college is forgotten rather quickly.
Yeah. You know, that's what I always wondered, you know, because there was always the talk they were going to go to 2 years. You know, I always wondered how, you know, universities would scam that to keep a guy hanging around for 2 years.
The guy is 18, though, and he's considered an adult, right?
Yeah. You know, I believe.
Then he would have the choice to see if he wants to play, go right into play to the NBA. If he's an adult, he certainly has that right to make that decision. So why the NBA says you got to have 1 year of college, and I don't know. Didn't they have a few players? They had a few players that jumped from high school right to the NBA a number of years ago.
Yeah, they used to do that, but now I don't know how much truth to this. This is the story everybody assumes. You know, that was hurting college basketball so much that's why they came up with the one-year rule to kind of help out the colleges.
When they say it was hurting, do you mean the attendance was down because of this, or?
Well, you know, I don't know if the attendance was down, but, you know, the games weren't very good because the star players were all skipping them. You know, they were all going straight to the pros. So, you know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, like LeBron never played in college, neither did Kobe. You know, guys like that, I mean, you look at those guys. And, I mean, to be fair, a kid doesn't have to go to college. He can actually go play in Europe for a year. You know, very few of them actually take that opportunity, you know, and then come back to get into the draft or whatever. I remember Brandon Jennings did it, but there, you know, there aren't too many others. I mean, right now, I guess you consider the Ball Brothers are, you know, I mean, you know, LiAngelo will be eligible for the draft next year if he decides to enter his name. So we'll have to, at least I think that's the one. Yeah, I think Lonzo's in the league, LiAngelo's the next one, and then LaMelo, I believe, is the youngest. So, you know, yeah, they're playing in, or they played in Lithuania, I believe it was.
Yeah, but
so,
did the team have to take their father with them when they sign next year?
Yeah, well, he was there. You know, I don't know. You know, he came out earlier in the week not knowing anything about contract law, talking about how Lonzo wouldn't re-sign with the Lakers if they didn't have all his kids there. So that was quite humorous because he must have forgot the length of his contract or whatever. So, you know, he's just a clown show looking for his 15 minutes. you know, that's all, you know, he's looking for. I know he, you know, there was
he's
an article
Rhodes,
on it.
He's not a Rhodes Scholar, right? He's definitely not a Rhodes
Scholar.
Yeah,
you know, there's an article today saying how he's not afraid of Magic Johnson and the Lakers.
Yes, right.
You know, and it's humorous because I honestly think he believes he has some impact. And, you know, they don't care. I really wish the networks would stop talking to him, you know, because all they want is the sound bites from him. It's not like they care about anything else. So.
Yeah, well, you know, some of these guys get their 5 minutes of fame and then are quickly forgotten.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I just thought it was humorous that, you know, people actually bought the shoes. You know, and then either didn't get them or got the wrong size and, you know, or got the wrong pair they ordered. Or so,
it was
just
pretty
like,
funny stuff.
So, but yeah, like even like you can read his quotes, like here's his quote today. They're basically, you know, asking him about talking out about Luke Walton and stuff. And what LeVar Ball said was, "I ain't never afraid of nothing." Somewhere out there, he's got a former English. He's got a former English.
He
right?
Majored in English, right? So, he was an English major in school.
So, yeah, I just kind of he was like, "Yeah, okay, great," you know. So, but yeah, and I was correct. LiAngelo actually is draft eligible this year. Somehow, I managed to get that one right. LaMelo is the 16-year-old one, so he won't be eligible for the draft for a couple of years. So somehow I've heard enough about their ages.
Yeah, for sure. It's a sad situation when that has to be a major story going around now. Ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you know, and I know, you know, before we run out of time here, I know how excited you are for NBA All-Star Weekend. Did you want to give our listeners your preview? I know tonight is the celeb game, and then the Rising Stars, and then tomorrow we have, you know, the dunk, the three-point contest, and the skills contest before
I'll
the fantastic game on Sunday.
I will give you a prediction on the final score of the NBA All-Star Game Sunday. Are you ready? My prediction is 205-201, the East winning in an upset.
Well, no, it's Team LeBron against Team Steph this year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. I forgot the format change, Or maybe it'll be 195 to 192 then.
I'm waiting for somebody to get to 200. I really am.
Yeah. At least the NHL have done something right with their all-star format.
All right, well, look at that. We're going to end on that note. But just so you know, Stu is actually going to come back Monday and host with me as Dan will be out for a few days, and hopefully Stu can make it on Tuesday as well. So you'll get to hear quite a bit of us if you tune in here. But, you know, as we stick on schedule, Mr. Fantasy and I will be here at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And you know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. You can hunt me down at Twitter as well if you'd like to. Send me those messages to Stu. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget the podcast is available for you anytime you want at tunein.com.